If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
The Bible says Jesus goes down to the pool of Bethesda, right? All right. John's Gospel, chapter 5. All right, watch this. It says, verse 1, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem, and there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, and it's called in Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. And in these lay a great multitude of impotent or weak folks. They are blind, they're halt, they're withered, and they're waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down, so-called, and then it says, a certain man was there in verse 5, and he had this infirmity for 38 years. Here's the question. Why is he there? How does he hold on to this infirmity for 38 years? And why is he no better? How does he continue to get there? And what's he getting? I submit to you that his infirmity was being prolonged because he continued to hang around sick folk. Because the law of reciprocity says you reap what you sow. You keep hanging around people that are absent of faith. Continue to hang around people with no praise. Hang around people with no positive outlook. Then it's going to bring your spirit down because God created us chameleon-like and we literally become what we behold. If God did not create us to be chameleon-like, then why would he demand that we come out from among them? If we were impervious to the sinful behaviors around us, then why won't he leave us with those people? If we could not pick up their habits, then why won't he leave us around them? Why does he say, come out and separate yourself? Because he knows we have the capacity to become what we behold. So if God is saying in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 into chapter 7, come out from among them, separate yourself, don't touch what they are, don't be what they are because you are holy, then it stands to reason that if I hang around faith talking people, people who know God can do it, people who believe that God is able, people who constantly say what God can do, then my faith has to grow. You are judged by the company you keep. Now, again, this is something that's not prevalent in the modern generations. In my youth, anytime I met a new friend, My mother and my father, more so my mother, but she would say, you know, she would want to know about the boy. She would want to know about him. No girl was ever good enough. All the girls I ever met when I was little, she called them all fast. I never knew what fast was. I thought that meant they could run. She never told me that fast meant sexy. She said, why are you with that little fast girl? I started my female involvement at 9 on the corner of Van Pelt and Susquehanna. And mama called her a fast girl. She wasn't fast because I caught her. Every girl was fast. I went to the Uptown one Saturday. I was about 12. I sat there in the movie, met this little girl. Mikey and Ty said, go sit with her and ask her if you can stand a chance. I asked her if I could stand a chance. She said, yes. I went back home on a cloud. I walked from Broad and Susquehanna all the way down to 22nd, dancing and singing like Michael Jackson. Got home, said, mama, I met a girl. She said, you don't need no girlfriend. She fast. I went back to the next week. I went back to see some James Bond movie. I went back. And I told her, she came and sat next to me. I said, I can't be with you. My mother said, you're fast. She got up and went and sat with somebody else. She was fast. She healed pretty quick. I thought, how do you break up with me and heal that fast? Do you know who you're sitting with? The future presiding bishop of the Bethel Deliverance International Fellowship of Churches. Don't be looking for me now, Jack. It's too late. You blew it. But see, mama filled my mind with all of that. You see, every female, every girl was fast. So that's what I thought. Well, who feeds your mind? Somebody says, believe God. If there's no one during the week telling you to believe God, then on Sunday when we come together on the first day of the week, it's almost impossible for you to move by faith because all week long you've been listening to people tell you God can't do it. And the devil wants you to watch a lot of television. He wants you to listen to a lot of secular radio. He wants you to listen to things that feed your spirit negativity. Even KYW, bless his heart. I like KYW for the weather and the news and the sports, but more specifically certain concepts of the news. I don't listen to everything because they'll have you scared to go to Germantown. Somebody said, well, come on, go over to Germantown, show with me. I ain't going over there. I heard KYW, there's somebody over there killing people. Then they show you stuff on TV, people getting pulled in cars. You say, I ain't going over there. Ain't nobody pulling me in a car. Nobody pulled. Nobody don't want you. But you're so full of fear. Every creak in the house, you walking around with mace in the house. You, in your own kitchen, got your keys with mace in the kitchen, in your own house. Why? Because you listen to KYW, and they told you there's home invasions. There was home invasions long before KYW, but you didn't hear about it, so you had no fear. Why is it that young people have no fear? Two reasons. One physiological reason is the part of the brain that develops that fear factor isn't really formed until 25, but the other part is they don't listen to stuff like that. My godson said to me yesterday, he said, I want to go to New York for my vacation. I said, boy, it's dangerous in New York. Him and your son, talking about they want to go to New York. I said, it's dangerous. He said, I'm Darius. I said, what the heck that got to do with anything? Talking about going to New York and walking through Central Park. I said, you done lost your mind. I'm Darius. I said, well, I'm Eric and you ain't going. But he wasn't thinking the same way. Why? Because he doesn't know anything about it. Well, here's God now, and this is the very difficult concept that we have to master. God told them, he said, look here, you're going into a land that's flowing with milk and honey. Don't that set you up? You're going, oh, look, listen to me. God just came and told you, I got $1 million cash for you in a bag with your name on it, but I put it at 32nd and Burks. And you can only get it at 10 o'clock at night. In the middle of crack season. God, why didn't you put it at 54th and City Line? Because that would not be a test. This man in John 6 is surrounded by doubtful people who are waiting for an experience. There's not one shred of biblical proof to say that angels can heal. There isn't one shred of biblical doctrine to justify their old wives' tale that when the water moves, it's an angel come to heal me. God said, I'm the Lord that healeth thee. Why are you waiting for somebody to lay their hands on you in every instance? I can understand if you're a new Christian and this is all new to you, but at some point, Lord, I need a church. I can't get no help. At some point, you ought to say, God, this is my birthright. Let me tell you something. Listen. When you first go to the bank to cash your first paycheck, you have your driver's license, you have your ID card, you put all that stuff up on that countertop, and you feel good. You lay that check up there with your signature and all that information, and the teller takes that information, cashes that check, and you have a little bit of anxiety till the money is counted out. And once the money is counted out, you walk out feeling, oh, hallelujah, and everybody's standing around looking at you, but there is nothing to compare to coming into the bank with a check and you don't have to produce identification because the tellers know you. They start calling you by your name. They know how much your check is worth because they're accustomed to cashing it. There's no greater feeling than getting your reward without having to go through all that identification. You don't have to prove yourself to God. Jesus has already laid it out, and all you got to do is learn how to go up and get it. And you get it by learning how to talk. So Jesus does something here in John 6. He goes up, and this man is laying there surrounded by doubtful people. How many of you are surrounded? Don't raise your hand. I don't want you. You might have that person sitting next to you. When you go home during the course of your life, how many of you are surrounded by doubtful people? Just surrounded by people. They're just negative, and they're just, you know, they're just pessimistic. And yeah, well, God said he'd bless you, but you know. I don't want to, but you know. I want people in my life to say, you can make it. I want people in my life that say, you can handle it. I don't want people even crying over a situation. You go to somebody and say, oh, well, the doctor said so-and-so. You want somebody to say, oh, that ain't done. You're going to be all right. That lifts your spirit. Oh, yes, it does. Trust me when I tell you. It's those folk, oh, how long have you had it? Oh, my God, it breaks my heart. Shut up, you ain't helping me. I want somebody to tell me it ain't as bad as you think it is. God is going to bring you out of this. This thing ain't going to kill you. This is going to make you stronger. I don't know what God is up to, but Jeremiah 29 said he's up to giving you hope and a future. And if God says I'm giving you a future, then the devil can't kill you. How many of you have a future in here? Woo! Sookie, sookie now. And so Jesus walks up to this man. I believe Jesus was offended that he was still sitting there. The Bible said there's five porches, colonnades, and these colonnades are, you know, when you go down the street around the park area and you see these little picnic tents, that's a colonnade. So John says there's about five of them around, and they're sitting around. Or they're those are the porches, rather, and the colonnade would be a series of steps that they're on, leading down to the pool. And so each person's probably sitting up under one of those porches, and they're trying to get down to the pool. And this man is laying there, and I think Jesus walked in and saw him and got offended because he saw something in him that he did not see himself. Now, I'm going to give you a little insight today. You're getting this one for free. You can determine what God thinks of you by the depth of your trial. Then you can add to it by the response of the people he sends to you. For example, you're going through something and it's really heavy. And then God has somebody talk to you and you begin to pour out to them and their response is, oh, you're going to be fine. Oh, that'll break your heart in the flesh. Oh, I thought you would be the one to lift me. But God hasn't given them any lifting words because he knows you can handle it. Remember, he promised not to give you more than you can bear. And if it's on you, you can bear it. And what helps you bear it? Language. Language. All right, Jesus asked him, do you want to be whole? All he had to say was yes. But because he had been programmed, he says, I don't have anybody put me into the water. Jesus, I ain't ask you that. I asked you, did you want to be whole? And here's the question that's being asked of every one of us. Do you want to be successful? Do you want to be prosperous? The answer comes from who you associate with. If you hang around people who believe God's word and they're consistently saying what God says and the opportunity comes for you to step in greatness and God says to you, do you want to be prosperous? You'll say, yes. Because prosperity is my birthright. Healing is my birthright. It's the children's bread, and I demand my loaf.
For a copy of the message you just heard in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
08315A.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $16. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. To attend Bethel Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Sheltenham Avenue at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 p.m., with prayer and Bible study being held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us on the web at www.betheldeliverance.org. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert, Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Exciting news. Bethel has gone prime time. Bethel's broadcast schedule now includes WTVE Channel 51 Sunday evenings at 9 p.m. Our regular broadcast will continue on WPPH Channel 50s on Sunday evenings at 7:30 p.m. and Monday through Friday, 7:30 a.m. Tune in to get a word from the Lord.